Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. This past Monday, Barack Obama was inaugurated for a second term as the 44th President of the United States. He then stepped to the lectern and delivered his inaugural address. Like the 44 presidents who have gone before him, President Obama used his inaugural address to present his vision for the next 4 years. An inaugural address is important for any president because it presents their priorities. Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, did what no president had ever done before. He spoke in critical terms of our country as he named the evil of slavery, the toll the Civil War was taking on human life. In his inaugural address, Lincoln spoke passionately of his resolve to end the war, especially its cause. In today's gospel, Jesus spoke his inaugural address. He presented a vision and his priorities. He claimed it as his calling. Jesus believed he was the one to fulfill the vision from the prophet Isaiah. What kind of vision do we hear in the inaugural address of Jesus? It was an announcement of his mission. It was a description of the still to be realized kingdom of God. This was absolutely not what those present in the synagogue expected that Sabbath morning. What normally happened was this. Because there was no professional clergy in Nazareth, the president of the congregation could invite any appropriate layperson to comment on the scriptures. Now, Jesus was used to attending synagogue in his travels and was becoming known for his teaching. In scripture, we hear they were astonished by his teaching because he spoke with authority. His reputation preceded him right into his hometown of Nazareth. Thus, when it was time for the scripture to be read that particular Sabbath morning, Jesus stood up and was handed the scroll. It was expected that after the scripture was read, there would be a commentary on the lesson that person had just read about. But after Jesus read from Isaiah, he delivered his first sermon in Luke's gospel. He did not take off and deliver a long sermon or commentary. Instead, he said, this was his mission, and sat down. It was profoundly short and to the point. I will do what you just heard. I will take this on. This is my calling and this is my mission. Those crammed into that tiny synagogue were stunned by what Jesus said. God was offering words of comfort through his Son. But often, words of comfort only mean something to those living with discomfort. I am blessed when someone says words of comfort when I need comfort or encouragement. Then I feel hope, possibility, I can move forward. When Jesus read from the book of Isaiah, it was during a time of tension and social instability because of the Roman occupation. But those who were poor, marginalized, oppressed or imprisoned, would have felt power in Jesus' words and ministry, and for them it would have been a sign of hope. Yet, this passage for us, who prefer to have it all together, our needs taken care of, might even hear it as a little threatening. To think that Jesus had a mission, a vision, a priority to turn upside down the economic structures that make the rich richer and the poor poorer. That Jesus wanted release for captives, for the oppressed to go free. If we are uncomfortable with the agenda of Jesus, then maybe we need to be counted among those who are blind and hear it as good news that Jesus wants to bring recovery of sight, especially if we are blind to the needs of others. This vision of Isaiah, this vision of Jesus, obviously is not yet fulfilled. There is work for us to do. But how do we combine the spiritual with the social and political of Jesus' teaching and ministry? It is not impossible if we seek the same spirit that empowered Jesus to guide us also. So who are the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed, and the imprisoned today? For the answer, meet people where they are, just like Jesus did. Notice them, listen to them, and you will discover their needs. And sometimes it is simpler than we think. Before the youth group got together to boil 300 hard-boiled eggs in our parish kitchen a week ago for the homeless ministry at St. Luke's in Long Beach, I went to Viva La Pizza to pick up one huge, massive pepperoni pizza. I bet it's almost 3 feet big, the ones they sell. Behind the counter was a young woman who said, "May I help you?" She seemed bored to tears, unhappy. I placed my order and then said, "How are you?" She looked up and said, "What?" I said, "How are you?" She answered, a lifeless, okay. "Just okay?" I said, "Yeah." And she looked at me as if I had uncovered something and there was nothing that could be done to change it. Well, I'm not the Messiah, just trying to grow in how to be a Christian. So I backed off, but answered, "I hope you have a good rest of the evening." I almost could hear her say under her breath, "Whatever." I bring this up because ministry is one person at a time, one outreach project at a time, one goal, one vision, one hope at a time. In our parish, we have a variety of ways we are attempting to live out the vision of Jesus. We are living out this vision with the ways we respond to the Mama Hills ministry, to the bi-monthly trips to Long Beach to serve breakfast to the homeless, to boil 300 hard-boiled eggs, through designs for dining to raise money for those too impoverished to afford a college education, to help build a house for a poor family through Habitat for Humanity, to serve in our kitchen, to welcome new parishioners, to take communion to the homebound, to make dinners for our sick members, to volunteer with outreach fundraisers, and to listen with the ears of our hearts for our next project for God. Today is our annual meeting. It is not irrelevant. Our annual meeting is to remind us of who we are and the responsibilities we have as a parish family, gathered together in mission for and with Jesus Christ. We make ourselves accountable to one another. Whether you look around the church right now or later in the parish hall, you will see different personalities and a variety of gifts. Yes, folks, we are the motley assortment that God has chosen to further the mission of Jesus Christ as one community here. That is the message from Corinthians, our second reading, that even though we are a diverse motley group, we are all members of the one body of Christ, inspired by one and the same Spirit. We are called to bring the best out of each other, and that calling, that mission, is meant to go beyond our walls. It is the Holy Spirit that seeks to fire us up with this message. It was the Holy Spirit that filled Jesus and propelled him out into the world with passion and vision. The one and the same Spirit fired up Abraham Lincoln in his second inaugural address. He named the evils of slavery. Those evils were dividing the nation, therefore dividing the family of God. For if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So today's gospel is ours to take hold of. It is up to us to notice and do something about poverty and oppression. It is up to us to help alleviate suffering for those in prison and marginalized in whatever form that may be. It is up to us to minister to those in prison by a dependency on alcohol or drugs, marginalized by old age or poor health. It is up to us to serve the poor, whether a material poverty or poverty of spirit, whether oppressed by worry or oppressed by a lack of joy, working at Viva La Pizza. Today, step into this gospel. Roll up your sleeves and join in the risky adventure of God's mission and purpose for you. The gospel was the inaugural address of Jesus, his mission statement. Now, if I invited each one of you to come forward, go to the lectern, thumb through the big Bible, what would you choose? Would you find something in the Bible to express God's vision, God's priorities? Would it be your mission statement, a mini inaugural address? Would it help focus your life? And what would you say after you finished reading it to us? Would you say, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing? Not to worry, I'm not asking you to do this, but God is. Amen.